This year, as you know, we have color-coordinated services, and our color today is red. I really appreciated Pastor Merrick's message last Sunday. He gave a great explanation of why green is associated with Christmas, but above all, he gave such a rich biblical perspective on hope. And you know, red and green, they are the quintessential Christmas colors, aren't they? And today, as you know, we're looking at red. How did red come to be a Christmas color? Well, there is both a secular and a sacred side to this. So first of all, let's look at the sacred side. And this is going way back to the 1300s. In the 1300s, it became the custom in homes across Europe to decorate the homes around Christmas time with sprigs of holly and ivy. And that is the holly. The green leaves represented eternal life, and the spikes on the leaves, you can see them here. And those spikes on the leaves represented the crown of thorns that Jesus wore on the cross. And the red berries, of course, represented the shed blood of Jesus. So with those red berries, red came to be a popular Christmas color in the homes of Christians across Europe, dating way back to the 1300s. Now that's the sacred side. Now just for a minute, look at the secular side of red. And for the secular side of red, we have to thank the Coca-Cola Company. In 1931, the Coke Company commissioned an artist to paint this picture of Santa Claus. And that was used in all of Coke's advertising from 1931 to 1962. And it became an iconic image of Santa Claus. And because of that, it was associated that Santa in the red suit, red came to be associated with Christmas, not in the sacred, but in the secular sense. Okay, that's the secular. Let's go back to the sacred for a minute. And look again at those red holly berries. They symbolize Jesus' love coming from heaven to earth and dying on the cross in order that we might have forgiveness of our sins. God's greatest expression of love was sending his son to earth at Christmas, not just to be born in a manger, but also to die on the cross. And those red berries symbolized that death that he made for us. And you know, the biblical verse that was most often associated with the green and red holly plant was one that Anna read for us this afternoon, and that is John 3:16. John 3:16 is probably the most familiar verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world, and that world is all of humanity, every single one of us, you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved. And our theme today is love. And here in John 3:16, we have the supreme love of God the Father for sinful humanity. That's for you and me. The baby in the manger, Jesus, God's only son, is the supreme expression of God's love. Now, getting that baby into the manger, that is the wonderful story of Christmas. And I'd like us to look at a passage today. If you have your Bibles or your device, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 1. And I want us to look at verses 18 to 25. When I read this passage, you'll notice that it does not contain the word love. However, it is full of love. Joseph's love for his fiancée Mary and God's love for Joseph and us. Matthew 1 verse 18, and I'm reading from the ESV. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not, until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I want you to just to think with me for a moment of Joseph. Joseph is in a very difficult predicament. After all, Mary's pregnant. Joseph has no clue at this point, at the beginning of this passage, he has no clue as to who the guy is who's responsible for this. He just assumes that Mary's been unfaithful. Mary is away from Nazareth, visiting her cousin Elizabeth. And Joseph, well, what's he going to do? He assumes that Mary's been unfaithful. He is engaged to Mary. And most people would just say, well, okay, Joseph, just walk away from it all. Not possible. Because a Jewish engagement was as binding as marriage. An engaged couple were legally husband and wife, although physical union hadn't yet taken place. And an engagement back then could only be broken by divorce. So here's Jacob wrestling with all kinds of stuff. First of all, Mary, his fiancée, his betrothed, is pregnant. He assumes that she's been unfaithful, and he knows very well that the penalty in the Old Testament law for adultery is death by stoning. And as soon as Mary starts to show, the religious leaders will carry out that penalty, and she will be stoned to death. And so right now, Mary's life is on the line. Joseph truly loves his fiancée Mary. He wants to protect her. And even as he's trying and thinking of something by which he could protect her, he's struggling with his own disappointment and disillusionment. All of his dreams for the future have been shattered. After all, his fiancée has been unfaithful. He is very much afraid for her life. He is very much despairing. I would even say he's panic-stricken. But look at how he shows unconditional love for Mary. The Bible says that he planned to send her away secretly. A quiet divorce, and then sending Mary away to protect her life. Joseph right here is willing to sacrifice all of his dreams, all of his hopes and plans for the future, everything he's hoped for, in order to protect his fiancée. Now that is unconditional love. But look what he's wrestling with. What's he going to do? It's no wonder he can't sleep. And finally, he falls into a very troubled sleep. And an angel of the Lord, sent from God, speaking for God, an angel of the Lord visits him. And what are the very first words of the angel? Joseph, son of David. God calls Joseph by name. In other words, God is saying that he knows exactly what Joseph is going through. In Isaiah chapter 43, God speaking through Isaiah says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And that's so cool because for all of us, there are painful seasons and there are painful situations and circumstances in all of our lives, aren't there? And God steps into those painful situations and calls us by name. He says, "I'm intimately acquainted with what you're going through." He calls us personally. He steps right into our situation with his presence, with his power, and with his overwhelming love. And you know, when you think of it, that's really the story of Christmas. Joseph, son of David, and it gets better for Joseph. Because right after calling Joseph by name, the angel says to Joseph, "Do not fear." I love what Thomas Frozzi, a Christian writer living in Hamilton, has to say. He says, "Christmas is a story of common people overcoming fear. Christmas is a time for us to remember one of God's most persistent messages. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I'm on your side." And you know, I'd love to meet this angel. Because in just two sentences, the angel gives to Joseph a pouring out of God's love on him. Just as Joseph showed unconditional love for Mary, his fiancée, by doing everything he could to protect her, so now God pours out his unconditional love on Joseph. And God does three things for Joseph. The first thing he does is he calms Joseph's fears. He says, "Fear not to take Mary as your wife." Fear not is one of the most repeated phrases in Scripture. Our Maker is trying to make a point. Life has seasons, including painful ones. Even so, says God, fear not. God's reassuring voice in Isaiah 43 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Those are powerful words. Powerful words of God's love. And you know, personally, I need to hear those words of God's love every day. "I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I will be with you. I'm your Savior." And you know something else? My grandchildren and all young people growing up in this culture need to hear those words of God's love every day. "I will be with you. I am the Lord your God. I am your Savior." And so what does God do? God in love calms Joseph's fears. And then God gives a powerful assurance to Joseph. He says, "Joseph, you can take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." There's no unfaithfulness here on Mary's part. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then I think the third thing that God does is so cool. He gives Joseph a promise. He says, "She will bear a son." Now, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. What about that Old Testament law in Deuteronomy that says there has to be a stoning for people caught in adultery, and the religious leaders, all they're going to see is Mary showing, assume she's been unfaithful, and carry out the sentence of adultery? But God says, no, she will bear a son. God gives to Joseph an unconditional promise about Mary. She will bear a son. And think of it for a moment. Right at this moment, all of redemptive history is at a hinge. The Son of God is growing in Mary's womb, and that Son of God must come to birth. And so God gives to Joseph this wonderful promise, she will bear a son. I will protect Mary. She's going to have a son. And you can't get any greater protection than the protection of God. Now, how does Joseph respond to what God does for him? I mean, how does Joseph respond to the command of God to take Mary as his wife? Well, look with me at these great words. It says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. That was total obedience by Joseph. And it grew out of Joseph's love for God. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And you know, I think the takeaway from this afternoon is this. Is there a step of obedience that God wants you to take this Christmas? Maybe it's a resolve to share the real meaning of Christmas with that hard-to-reach family member. Or perhaps reaching out to someone in your neighborhood. Maybe it's as basic as praising God for all his blessings. Your family gatherings over the holidays, your church family here, your Renew group, the blessings of salvation. Or perhaps for some of you, here this afternoon, perhaps the step of obedience, if you've never taken it before, is to humbly ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and life as Savior. You know, love and obedience, they are at the heart of Christmas. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the example of Joseph, who showed humility and obedience in taking Mary as his wife, even though these circumstances of her pregnancy were unexpected and difficult. And oh God, today we ask that you would help us to trust in you, to follow your will, even when we don't understand exactly what's happening in our lives. God, please give us the grace to be humble and obedient like Joseph, and to trust in you even when things seem uncertain or difficult. Help us to trust that you are working in our lives for our good and your glory, and that you will provide and protect us. Your constant love for us was proclaimed to the world when you sent your Son. It was poured out on Joseph and Mary. And just as you showed unconditional love to them, we pray that because of your love for us, help us to begin this very week committed to opening our hearts to those around us. And Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus, who was born to Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Join us every Sunday at 4 p.m. at 7755 10th Line West in Mississauga. Or visit us online at renewchurch.ca/connect.